The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
Thanks for joining with us today. My name is Devin. I'm the lead pastor here at Summerside, and we appreciate you taking the time to either come here into the building or to join us online, and let's just get it over with. Let's just pull the Band-Aid off. I know what you're all thinking. Yes, I clearly got some sun yesterday. Okay? And I hate it. Not because I'm embarrassed about the redness of my neck or the top of my head. It's just the conversation, right? It's the same time everyone, looks like you got some sun yesterday. And it's like, yes, it was sunny and I'm clearly red. But I don't have a chance to explain to everyone that just give it 2 days and it'll be a deep, ruddy, golden tan and you'll be so envious. And right? But there's something nice about the nice weather, right? Even today, as we know, it's a beautiful day. Many of us are already planning and thinking about our afternoon. I have this thing where anytime that I travel to maybe a different country or a different kind of tropical or like climate area or region, I add it to my weather app on my phone. So if I open it up now, I can scroll through all the cities that I've been and just kind of stay up to date with what's happening as far as their weather is concerned. I find it really interesting about highs and lows and humidity levels and visibility. And some places have terrible air quality. I don't know if you recognize that, right? But one of the countries and one of the cities that I follow closely the weather patterns of is Jerusalem. Because a number of years ago, I had the chance to go to Israel and to see kind of the Holy Land, the whole experience. And I really enjoyed my time. We went to all of the popular sites, but what I enjoyed the most was having a little bit of time to just slow down and enjoy the culture, the people, the history, just to watch and observe. It wasn't just rushing all around. And one of the things that stood out to me, I can distinctly remember when we went to Israel, was a giant rock. Now, I'm not going to be able to sell it to you and do it justice, right? Because in essence, it's just a big rock. But there's a few things here that are important. This is in the foundation of the temple. And this is called the Western Stone. You can look it up on Wikipedia. It's a monolith. It's a single stone, and it's approximately 41 feet long, 11 feet high, and it's estimated that it's something like possibly 13 feet deep. It's hard, obviously, to get a sense of how deep it is, so they do like sonar pinging and whatnot. But it's estimated that it weighs about 500 tons. That's a lot. The average car weighs about 1.5, so you can do the math. And I can remember somebody pointed it out and thinking, what an incredible feat of human ingenuity to be able to cut this out and move it here. And today, 2,000 years later, after war and drought and storms and all of the weather systems and conquering nations and the destruction of the temple, over 2,000 years later, this stone hasn't budged. It's secure. And in the same way, what I want to do today is look at a passage from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he's concluding his greatest, most popular sermon, and he is addressing the issue of a foundation. You see, in short, what Jesus is going to teach is that your life right now is built on something. Whether it's a conscious feature, whether it's a conscious decision, or it's not, your life is built on something. The only question is this. Is your foundation going to endure? Is it going to make it through the suffering and the hardship that you will inevitably face in your life? Is your foundation secure? So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 7. It just dawned on me as I was sitting here, kind of prepping to come up. I want to emphasize again, I'm a stickler, I'm a sucker for the Bible. Okay, we put the words up on the screen, but it's so important, and I highly recommend that if you want to get the most out of a sermon, if you want to get the most out of your own Christian journey, bring your Bibles to church. Because these are not just little proverbs and sayings that exist outside of a context. No, this comes in a flow of thought. There is consistency in the books of the Bible. There is a flow of ideas. And it's so important to actually look at God's word in its context. So I want to encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, we have some available that we'd love to share. Now, before I read it, I want you to notice just simply the first word. The first word is therefore. So this is Jesus concluding his most famous sermon. And he's encapsulating much of the teaching that has come before. And he's saying to his audience who have been captive, who have been listening, he's saying to them, therefore. So in light of all that's come before, all of this teaching on ethics, on relationships, on holiness, on your heart and obeying God from the heart, in light of all of this, therefore, this is the conclusion. This is the summation and conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, in this process, this is the first time that I've ever preached through the Sermon on the Mount. Now, obviously, in my own Christian life, there have been times and seasons where I've heard dozens of sermons on it, where I've memorized it, or sections of it. But I have thoroughly enjoyed the ability to preach through it and to see just how connected all of these different sections are. Each one of them is gold in and of itself. You could pluck that, put that up on a, you know, on a plaque on the wall and really enjoy that. But there's a flow here. And you notice that even with the first word that he offers. Therefore, so in light of all that's come before, now let me read God's word to you today. Therefore, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This is God's word for us today. Now, one of the things that I love about the Bible, and I love about Jesus' teachings, is that they are simultaneously incredibly deep and rich to the point that no one human could ever, ever hope to come to the end of all this revealed in God's word. Yet at the same time, you today, regardless of your background, can look at something like this and understand it. There is this beautifully profound straightforwardness to Jesus' teachings. Right? He's not sitting here talking cryptically, like you need to know this little decipher code, secret password to unlock his teachings. He offers us here a metaphor, an example, an illustration to prove a point. The first thing that I want you to notice is that both men, the wise man and the foolish man, both men had the same idea, the same goal in mind. And truthfully, so do you. I mean, think about it. They both had a goal in mind. They wanted to build a house. Maybe they had a planning meeting before. Maybe they were in discussion about it. They had the same idea. They had the same desire. And house here, in short, is referring to your entire existence, your life. Right? You think about every decision that you make, every hope that you have for the future, every vision that you have for what your flourishing really looks like. What the true life really is, how you spend your finances, how you invest your time, your relationships, all of this is gathered together and is very much for you the house that you are building. Think of your life like a house. Both of these men had the same idea. their identity, their hopes, their dreams, their sense of self and safety. And each day, we, just like them, are building something. Building a house and building a life. Both men had the same goal in mind. But the difference comes when we look at their foundation. Because they had different foundations. This is the key here of Jesus' teachings on the wise and the foolish builder. There was one man who heard Jesus' teachings and put it into practice. And Jesus says he's like a wise builder. He's a wise one. But there is a foolish builder. And the foolish builder is one who heard Jesus' teachings and said, oh, that's nice. Inspirational even. Maybe I'll tweet something about it. But it ended. It ended up here. They never put it into practice. They never actually did it. They never actually obeyed about it. Now think carefully here about where this is occurring. It's occurring at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus here is speaking specifically to his audience who has heard the Sermon on the Mount, who have been listening to him. He says here in this text, the wise man is the one who hears these words of mine. The foolish man is one who heard these words of mine. Both the wise and the foolish builder heard Jesus' word. His teachings. They heard more than likely his sermon. Which one are you? I mean, we've been preaching through the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard the words of Jesus. You have heard his teachings. Do you put them into practice? You see, all that comes before this conclusion, Jesus is saying very simply, have you put it into practice? The Sermon on the Mount begins with the Beatitudes, an invitation to being meek, to being pure in heart, to being a peacemaker, to love righteousness. Jesus goes on throughout the Sermon on the Mount and talks about hatred. That hatred has no place in the Christian life. He talks about our vows and our intimacy and our marriages and the holiness and the committedness that we are to have to the spouse that God has given us. He talks about prayer and giving and fasting. All the while through the Sermon on the Mount, every single point, every single ethical teaching gets filtered through the heart. That it's not merely enough to know what Jesus wants of us, but he wants us to obey. He wants us to obey from the heart. Just like not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, the passage before, not everyone who hears Jesus' words has built their life on the rock. It's interesting because the emphasis here is less on the foundation, truly, and more on the individual who hears and puts it into practice. That's the emphasis. Jesus here is talking to the choir, to those who are in and around church, who have heard his teachings, who are familiar with it. So let me ask you, if you call yourself a Christian, maybe you've grown up around it, maybe you've been around the block, maybe you've been out to church a few times. If that's true, I'm talking to you then. Do you put it into practice? Both men had the same dream, the same idea, the same goal in mind, but they had a different foundation. But both men faced the same storm. This is where things get interesting. This is where the comparison really comes to the forefront. You have these two individuals, the wise man and the foolish man. They have the same ideas. They build it up. And more than likely, from the outside, their houses look the same. If you're a shoddy carpenter or builder, you're going to want to hide your work to get the check in hand, right? You're not going to leave doors off and windows out. You got to do the cosmetic stuff, right? If you're going to do something shifty or unsavory, you're not going to do it in a way that everybody sees. More than likely, these two houses that these individuals were constructing looked exactly the same. The problem happens, and the problem occurs when the storm comes in and the storm reveals the truth. Both face the same storm. The rains come down, the streams rose, the winds blew, but the one who built his house on the rock endures, and the one who built it on the sand watches it all crumble. See, sometimes Christians think like, if I just follow Jesus, and if I do what's right, and I do what's honoring to God, and I cross all my T's, and I dot all my I's, then I'll avoid the storms. Right? Then surely life, God will give me the good things in my life that I desire. Maybe. Maybe He will. And you praise Him for that. Or maybe He will strengthen you and guide you through that storm. Well, then you will praise Him and give Him thanks for that. Both men faced the same storm, but only one endured. The one who built his life on simple trust and obedience, to hear Jesus' teachings and to put them into practice. The one who simply, as the old song goes, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The one that heard Jesus' teachings and put it into practice, his house endured. He weathered the storm. But the one who merely heard and failed to put it into practice, watched it all crumble. There was nothing left. Now, I want to just take our remaining time and offer some kind of reflection or even some implications, applications for you from this passage. Okay, here's my first one. Don't merely hear Jesus. Hear and obey. It's not that complicated, but it's incredibly difficult. If you've been around church for any amount of time, you know such things as you shouldn't lie. You know such things as you shouldn't slander. You know such things as we ought to be generous. We know it. The problem is putting it into practice. The problem is the obedience. Very rarely, to be frank, very rarely do I read the Bible and come across like, oh, I didn't know that, in the sense of, oh, I didn't know that God didn't want me to push people down when I was angry. Right? We know what it is that He expects for us. We know what His teaching involves, and yet the tension and the problem comes in our obedience, in our putting it into practice. I mean, very simply, the thrust of this and the thrust of the whole Sermon on the Mount is that what Jesus wants from you is everything. Everything. He wants you to obey Him. Not merely out of a sense of drudgery or fear or terror. Not so that you can get something out of Him or manipulate Him. He wants you to obey Him because you trust Him and you love Him. So you hear His teachings and you say, man, Jesus, that sounds a little difficult. That sounds hard. And right now, this world and my flesh, they're telling me that I think I know a better way. No, no. You hear his teachings and you put them into practice. You know, very simply, a passage that encapsulates this beautifully is James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. I want to read them for you, and I encourage you to look them up later as well. This is from James chapter 1. Listen to how succinctly he puts this exact point. Do not, he writes, merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So many of the problems that Christians face, so many of the problems that Christians get themselves into, stem from a failure to simply listen, trust, and obey. And I'm not pointing the finger, because I'm right there with you. Sometimes, and there are often certain areas that we think we know better. Maybe it's an addiction, a negative habit, a behavior pattern, a relationship. We live in such a way that we say, okay, I know what Jesus says, but I know what the Bible teaches, but, and we rationalize and we justify and we excuse it away, and we always think that we know better. Do you recognize what insanity that is? We don't know better. How can I say that so confidently? Because you did not form yourself. You did not make yourself. You do not know your ultimate purpose apart from the one who made you with a purpose. So we sit there and we think, oh God, no, when it comes to my finances, when it comes to my sexuality, when it comes to my relationships, like I know what your word says, but I think I have a better way. Don't do that, because every time you do that, you are building your life on the sand. You are building a part of your identity, a part of your experience on the sand, and it crumbles. It can't endure. Do you have blind spots? Areas that you refuse to fully submit to Christ as King? That you say, Devin, what more does Jesus want? I show up to church like almost half the time. And I smile sometimes. And I participate a little bit. I shake some hands. What more does Jesus want? Why can't I have this little area of my life and give him all the rest? Because he doesn't give you that option. He's the King. He's your creator. Very, very simply, he's the boss. Period. Man, that simplifies so much in life. He's the boss. Don't merely hear him. Hear and obey. My prayer is truly that God's Spirit, even now in this moment, will prick your heart, your conscience, and put his finger on something in your life, if there is something there, an area, an activity, a pattern of behavior that doesn't glorify him, that you are thinking, still, I think I actually know better. I know what your word says, Lord, but I have my excuses, I have my reasons. My hope and my prayer is that God's Spirit will speak to your heart and convict you and let you find freedom from that. So that as you go out from here, as you step into this next season of your life will not be built on the sand that will shake, that will crumble, but that your life will be built on the rock. That's the first implication. Here's the second. You'll never avoid the storms. You can't do it. You will never avoid the storm, so make sure that your foundation is secure. suffering. The rains, the stream, the wind. The pain, the hardship, the difficulties, the tension. You're not going to escape it. You see, right now, I know from personal experience, from relationships, and from talking to some of you, I know that some of you are in the storm right now. And you are walking through incredibly difficult and painful realities. And I know that in this storm, your foundation has proven to be secure because it is built on Jesus. It is built on a life of trust and obedience. And it's painful and it's hard, but God is working in you even now, something that never would have happened apart from the storm. And that is a beautiful and God-glorifying path for you to walk. Praise God for that. You know, as I think about, as a parent, passing on my faith and catechizing and discipling and teaching our children, one of the things that I want to rush for them, to give them the Coles notes on, is the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God through suffering. Where my wife and I, in our 16 to 18 years of marriage, because I'm not entirely sure, in our joyful bliss of matrimony, the times that we have sensed, enjoyed, and experienced God in the greatest ways was in the storm. But some of you haven't experienced the storm yet. Maybe you're young. Maybe you've been sheltered. Maybe God in His providence has just not seen fit to lead you in that path yet. But the storm will come. And the storm will reveal what it is that you have built your foundation on. What your foundation is. You see, when people walk away from their faith, when they deny Christ, when they say, I'm no longer a Christian, when they apostatize, when they become a heretic, you name it, right? When they walk away, we often think it's because they were intellectually convinced out of it. That's actually quite rare. If there were airtight arguments that just proved that there was no God, we would have heard it by now, and we wouldn't be here, right? Very few people are convinced out of following Jesus because of an intellectual argument. More often than not, when people struggle in their faith, when they have doubts, it's from suffering. It's from difficulty. The storm comes, and they can't endure. You will not avoid the storm. It will reveal what it is that you have built your life on. And I wish there was a way to accelerate spiritual growth apart from the difficulties of the storm, but the storms will come, and it will reveal what it is that you have built your life on. And rather than the storm destroying your faith, my prayer is that as you have built your life on Jesus, on trust and obedience, on hearing His word and putting it into practice, that you will endure, that you will make it through, and that you on the other side will look back and praise God for His faithfulness and for His goodness. That's the second implication. Now let me give you the final one. Very simply, there is no foundation like Jesus. Okay? There is no foundation like Jesus. You need a foundation that's outside of yourself. Right? If you're just making it up as you go along, cobbling together your own view of who God is and what he expects of you, what is the purpose of your life, why do you exist, does anything that you do in your life have any meaning for eternity? If you have answered those great and profound questions, like what happens when you die, if you have answered all of these questions based off of what you think or feel is true and what you saw on Facebook, do you recognize how incredibly fragile that kind of foundation is? It's not historic. It's not anchored in anything outside of you. You have literally cobbled it together. It would have been incomprehensible 15, 20 years ago. And you're deciding to build your life on this? There is no foundation like Jesus. You need a foundation outside of yourself because you are not that rock. We were formed from the dust. We are finite and we are small and we are limited. We need a foundation outside of us that is bigger than us. So build your life on Jesus. Pop psychology, self-interest, false beliefs, these won't survive the storms. A marriage that is built on worldly philosophy of tit for tat or self-centeredness or I will be with you until you stop fulfilling me and making me happy in every single way that I want. These kinds of marriages won't endure. I mean, our whole society right now is built on a foundation that is incomprehensible. It is fragmented, filled with infighting and in confusion around some of the most simple biological or relational realities. We live in a fragmented and broken world because it is built on a foundation of sand. It can't withstand the storm, let alone the weight of the building. Build your life on something. Something that will endure. Something that can withstand the storm. See, this is the invitation in the Sermon on the Mount. It's a different way. It's a new way for God's people to live their lives. To be a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people for his own glory. And he uses people like you and people like me. People like Summerside. And although it's incredibly average and mundane, just like every other church, God is doing something beautiful here. As we live that other way out. So as we conclude this Sermon on the Mount series, I invite you, I challenge you to do this. Build your house. Build your life. Make it a great one. Build for yourself a big, glorious, joy-filled, spacious, God-glorifying life. But build it on Jesus. Trust and obey. Whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. The storms will come, so build your life on the rock. Let me pray. Jesus, in a world of confusion, you endure. You are the eternal cornerstone. You are the foundation that we can build our lives on because you made us. You know what will make us eternally joyful in you. You know what brings about our flourishing. Father, I pray that we would be a people who build their lives on the simple pattern of hearing your word and obeying. Father, I would trade every resource, every degree, every seminary out there for a movement of people of God who will simply hear your word and put it into practice. May you do that work here. Each of us have gaps, blind spots, weak areas, where we hear your teaching and yet we think that we know better. As that is the case, Spirit of God, give us courage, give us clarity and boldness to address that, to repent of that, to turn away from that, and to give you control so that everything that we are, the entire house of our life, our very being is built on the rock that will endure. The storms are going to come, Lord. And there's one foundation that makes it secure. So help us to build our lives on that. May we, as your people, hear these words of Jesus and put them into practice for his glory. Amen.